Good morning. I'm David Warnock, and welcome to Baltimore's Future. My guest today is Chris Burnett, winner of the Baltimore Social Innovation Journal Award and board member of the Edmondson Village Community Association. He's a community organizer and doing some really interesting things at Edmondson Village. But we want to talk today about his idea for a training academy for emerging leaders in community organizing. But let's just start a little bit about what your background. How did you get interested in the community organizing movement, and what are you doing over in Edmondson Village?
So I would say I'm a second-generation organizer. My grandmother was an organizer in East Baltimore, not by trade, but by necessity. She was in the EBDI Hopkins relocation first phase, and her and a few other folks, neighbors, outside organizers, started to come together and to make sure that they got the best deal possible, because it seemed like not moving wasn't an option, but they wanted to make sure that they were organized on their end. So seeing her go through all that and the work that she did to kind of get the neighborhood working hard, and I was in high school, but it kind of got my juices flowing a little bit. And then went to college, University of Maryland College Park. I originally went to school to do physical therapy, left out with a degree in public policy.
So if you could ask your grandmother, who was involved in the EBDI move and the decision by a city that a meaningful percentage of its citizens needed to pick up and move somewhere else, how that whole process could have been done differently or better, what would she say?
We can still ask her. She's still around. But she'd say that, you know, the necessity for them to do that was because there wasn't a community voice at the decision-making table. And a lot of that has to do with the lack of capacity in the community, feeling that they have the confidence, the capability, knowing how to navigate bureaucracy and so forth, everything you would need to really secure a seat at the table and be a part of the decision-making process. And I think, so she was the vice president of SMEAC, Save the Middle East Action Committee. And out of that was a lot of organizing training to build the capacity of residents to advocate for themselves.
So what you're talking about with the Training Academy for Community Activists really in many ways sprang out of the experience that your grandmother has had through the EBDI move.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Is there a training academy around the country and in another city that is a good template that people could look at, or listeners could go on the web and see, that would be something that would you'd like to bring to Baltimore?
So a lot of the curriculum that I'll be pulling is from the NeighborWorks Training Institute. They don't only do leadership development. They do a ton of stuff. But I went to one of their workshops in Portland, Oregon, and spent a week pretty much learning how, going through their leadership development academy there. But then I brought a lot of that back with me to kind of pull from. I mean, some of the things apply, some don't. You know, you as an organizer, you have to adapt to your audience and the community that you're working in. But a lot of that I'll be kind of using to guide the work that I do.
And what's the skill set that you find when you talk to community activists or people who aspire to be a community activist? What's the skill set that they really need to work on?
Getting themselves organized first, I would say, is the hard part. A lot of people have, we can be very reactionary when things happen. You know, we want to fight back, we want to push back, we want to get people fired up and ready to go. But a lot of times these things kind of fizzle out because you don't have the structure in place to really maintain the organizing effort itself, and, you know, a calendar or strategic planning of short-term goals, long, you know, there's a lot that really goes into having a really strong organizing effort. And a lot of people, you know, just want to go straight firing in all cylinders from the beginning, but it really takes a lot of planning ahead of time.
That's the kind of stuff that can be taught, as opposed to either you just know it or you don't.
Absolutely. And, you know, the organizing I did in college, that's kind of how we operated. We saw the issue. We maybe planned for a day or so and then got rolling. But as we kind of went along, we decided, okay, you know, maybe we should sit down and, like, really flesh things out. And then as I've, you know, kind of picked it up, I worked at the Good Jobs, Better Baltimore campaign here in Baltimore through SEIU, Service Employees Union, And I do, again, a lot of work in Edmondson Village through my community association. And we're dealing right now with a shopping center owner that doesn't want to clean up the property and a few other things as well that we're kind of organizing on. So I'm actually working through with those folks it's the exact process that I would use on any other organizing campaign, no matter what the issue is.
Right. So you've been a big a leader in the Edmondson Village Shopping Center and trying to change the owner of that shopping center's behavior. Talk a little bit about that.
So for a couple years ago, we had a meeting with the owner, basically saying, you know, can you clean up the property? Can we get some better stores? The safety is an issue for a lot of our seniors. And it didn't seem like he was really taking this seriously. And so we've tried to have subsequent meetings with him, didn't really get anywhere. And so in October, one of our association members stood up and said, well, what are we going to do about this? I mean, he's not listening to us. He's not sitting down with you guys. And as an organizer, that's exactly what I want to hear when you have at least one other person that's like, look, I'm ready to go to war. What do we got to do? And so the first thing we did recorded some YouTube videos, got social media, got a web page up, repairtheshoppingcenter.com, where folks can go in there and check out some of the early work. We got petitions going. I got some of my seniors in the neighborhood going door to door talking to their neighbors, because there's a lot of people. I'm new to the neighborhood, relatively speaking. There's a lot of folks who've been there for 30, 40 years, so they have that history.
You're an East Side kid. You got to get your credibility on the West Side, right?
A little bit. You know, the house that I'm in, I'm the third generation, so my neighbors used to change my diapers, that kind of thing.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, I just bought it from my dad. And so, you know, I'm new. I've been there for 4 years, but I know a lot about the community just because of my family history.
And what do the YouTube videos do?
So I got pictures of what the shopping center looked like. I do a lot of community walkthroughs for the shopping center. So we took pictures of all the trash, of the open air drug markets, the dumping in the back. We caught them off guard and just took a couple snapshots, put those pictures in there. Kind of told the history of the shopping center and its significance to the community. But also, you know, I've been trying to focus on educating people about the area. There's an area master plan that was done in 2007 that says right in there that turning around the shopping center is probably the key to turning around that portion of West Baltimore, because it's the main economic hub. And so that's been kind of the launching point to, you know, a lot of bigger efforts. And so we just had our big town hall meeting, first time. In a number of years that there has been a town hall meeting, we had about 80 residents come out and start a visioning process. You know, what do people want to see the neighborhood look like? What are our strengths? What are the neighborhood's weaknesses? And what are some opportunities that we can kind of work together on to really turn things around? But even we talked about the shopping center as well. You know, I've talked to a number of people, but the issues may be different for some people. What kind of stores do they want to see? So really working people through the beginning phases of a really community-based planning effort, and then working in the leadership development piece as well.
How long would you think the Training Academy curriculum would last? Would that be a 6-month course of study, or how would it be a 2-month? How long does it take to train a community organizer?
Right now, it's still kind of up in the air on the length. I think the official academy will probably be about 3 months. It's really hard to say. So my goal is to really kind of give people like the real basics of organizing, and experience is the biggest teacher, I think.
Yeah, it's remarkable. When the Warnock Foundation did a survey last fall of the strengths and attributes and deficiencies of Baltimore, right near the top, if it wasn't number one, was Baltimore's neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. So the identification that folks in Baltimore have with their neighborhoods is remarkable. And I'm sure you find in Edmondson Village that people truly identify with Edmondson Village, take great pride in that neighborhood.
Absolutely.
What's been the response from the entity that owns the shopping center to all this effort?
So it's been mixed. I haven't talked to him since we've launched this very public campaign. I know that from people who have that he's not too happy about it, but we have seen the most progress. I mean, very small. I mean, painting of the poles, clearing of the dumping, an additional guy cleaning up the lot, though it's still not exactly where we want, a little bit more security. So we know that the message is being heard. And other than that, I can't really say much more because we've been pretty much blocked out of any communication at this point now, which we kind of expected. I mean, when
you say you've been blocked out of communications with the owner of it, what does that mean?
So we like I said, we met with him. Our community association did get a secure meeting with him 2 years ago. And to my understanding, he does meet with other more friendly, I guess, at this point, associations in the area, because part of the problem is the shopping center itself is in Rognell Heights. They're neighborhood boundaries, not in Edmondson Village. And, you know, I would say that's kind of an issue. You know, you talked about Baltimore neighborhoods and the Pride. That's kind of made it a little bit difficult is that barrier right there is getting all of the area associations to kind of see ourselves as Southwest Baltimore and not necessarily confined to the streets that, you know, we've been given by the city as our neighborhood. And so it's my understanding that he does have a continuing dialogue with Rognell Heights Association. Mm-hmm. And so there is some communication happening there. It's just not with us.
So tell me what you do on a day-to-day basis as a community organizer in Edmondson Village.
Well, on a day-to-day, I'm actually working as a community organizer for Kai Bark Heights on the Healthy Neighborhoods Program. So most of my organizing in the village is when I come home, you know, I'm passing out newsletters for the community association where I'm plugging in the town hall stuff, and also just stuff that's relevant to the neighborhood. On Saturdays, we get a table set up at a nearby shopping area to kind of get people to sign petitions, give more information about the associations. For the town hall meeting, you know, it had to be a success. I mean, you know, we built so much on our future planning on that first meeting. So that the Saturday before, I hit 500 doors with my wife and putting out flyers for the town hall meeting with my contact info for people to kind of follow up, updating our webpage, updating our social media. As the spring rolls out, I'll be doing more door knocking with folks from the association and other associations who've kind of come on board in the area. I mean, we have 13 of them in the area. So
What is the best way for community associations to interface with the political leadership that's representing them?
You know, they come around at the beginning and the end of session to our meetings, but I always encourage people to give them a call related to anything in the neighborhood. So, you know, we do have a good dialogue with most of the delegation, and we are in the 41st district on the state level and the 8th district in the city. And so we emails, phone calls is probably the best way, but that's also kind of the motivation behind starting the academy is that I did want to target association leadership, not necessarily exclusively the presidents, but their boards and members, because I feel like part of the issue as well is that that's the only time you get to interact with these people, is when they come to us to the meeting to tell us what they're doing,
right,
and not necessarily kind of a role reversal.
For young people for old people, for that matter, who are interested in becoming active in their communities, what are websites, what are resources that they can access to help them think that through?
I use New Organizing Institute a lot. And like I said, I've gone to NeighborWorks trainings. Those are pretty much two that are pretty good. You know, the best, I find the best is always in person, if you can kind of find that. I know another good local resource would be CPHA. They have at least once a year, it's called Activate Your Inner Citizen, and it's training for community-based activists from anything on, how to navigate city bureaucracy, how to start a nonprofit, how to use 311 the best of your ability, starting community gardens. I mean, there's a ton of stuff happening all throughout the city, you know.
Is there a website that people can get at to learn more about the Training Academy or more about your activities on the west side of Baltimore?
Yeah, if they, repairtheshoppingcenter.com online or on Facebook, Edmondson Village, you can search for that or Repair the Edmondson Village Shopping Center on Facebook. And you can also find me on Twitter at KRISTERFERB, so Christopher B.
Christopher B. Burnett, thank you for joining me today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
For more information on this Baltimore Social Innovation Journal Award winner, visit warnockfoundation.org or wypr.org.